by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you have what for one another? Love. All men are going to know that you're my disciple, is what the Lord is telling us, if you have love for one another. How much love do we have for each other? This last week, for those of you that may be visiting with us today, this last week we had our gospel meeting and the theme was on God's love. One of the verses that Steve and I talked about at the end of the week was John chapter 13 and verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. What is that kind of love? What is it that we as Tresvant, as a group of Christians, how is it that we love each other? How is it that we move forward after this gospel meeting, after this time that we spent this week in study of God's Word, talking about God's love? How do we take that, put application in our life, and say, this is what we're going to do? You know, it's one thing to hear something, it's something else to hear it and apply it to our life and say, we can learn from this and we will go forward, and this is the direction that we need to go. I think that everybody agrees that we had an outstanding gospel meeting. Everybody's nodding for the most part. I think the truth was preached. I think they done it in such a way with enthusiasm that we was able to pay attention. We learned from it. Now let's make application to our life. How are people going to know that we're Jesus' disciples? Do we have that kind of love for one another? We have got to apply that to our life and allow things to move forward in this congregation so other people, as we talked about in the Sunday school class, that other people can see the light on this hill. Now let me tell you, if you're not coming to Sunday school, start coming. It's an opportunity to be here with other brothers and sisters in Christ and to talk and to encourage each other and to study the Bible. So come for that. But this morning we talked about letting our light shine that other people can see what we have, really is what that is. That our example, our enthusiasm, our excitement, our embracing and unity and love, that we're living a life and we're going this direction, and people can say, you know, there's something different about those people. They're not like the rest of the world. David, and I appreciate his prayer this morning, he talks about the turmoil that's going on in our country. I'm going to tell you, we're in a mess from at least what we hear on the news. And the biggest problem we got is we don't care for each other. We don't have that love that we've been talking about when we sit and look at the divide that's in this country, the divide that's in the world today. It's a lack of love for one another. And we, as Christians, we've got to move forward with that love regardless. Now listen, regardless of what everybody else does. If everybody else gets out of here and has a knockdown, drag-out fight, that don't mean that's what we're going to do to each other. We're going to be a family. We're going to be a group of people that care about one another. A newspaper article had this. I don't remember where it was at. I found this or read it. A newspaper article had covered a story about a young boy who had killed all of his family. He was asked why he did it. Can you imagine what his response was? Why a young boy would kill his whole family? He said, I felt left out. I felt left out. My family was not including me. I felt like an outsider. I felt like I didn't belong. Maybe it was I felt like I wasn't loved. Therefore, I didn't feel like I belonged where I was, so I took it out on those that probably loved me the most. You know, in Proverbs, I think it's, let me look, it's chapter 23, it's verse 5 or 6, 7, somewhere in there. It says, for as you think in your heart, so are you. In other words, however we feel or whatever's inside our heart that we think, that's what we are. If we don't feel needed, if we don't feel loved, it brings about a different person in ourselves. There's not a one of us sitting in here today that does not want to feel loved, I don't think. I don't think there's a person in here that does not want to feel needed by someone, because that is a desire within ourselves that people need us, they want us, and they love us. I've got 2 points I want us to think about this morning as we think about God's love and how that people are going to know that we are Jesus' disciples because of the love that we have, first of all, for one another. And it's going to include, and I think that it has to, I think as we think about the love of God and the love that we have for each other, it has to include the need, and people have to feel needed. And we have to feel wanted in that. You know, a person, let me say this before I get into the lesson, a person can feel useless and unneeded. And it's not always the people around them's fault. Let me say that at the beginning of the lesson. Because I think each one of us, as we think about being needed, we've got to find our place in life. We've got to find what we can do, and then we got to fulfill those needs. I think a strong congregation, I think a strong person, a strong Christian, is someone who knows what their strengths are, and they go to their strengths and they help everybody around them with what their strengths are. So inside ourselves, each one of us has a responsibility to share that love and to share our talents, if you will, with other people around about us. Now, we need to be encouraged to use those, and I think that we are. I think we need to be pushed along in that way. But each one of us, as mature Christians, it gets to a point, and I hope you understand what I'm talking about. When we get to a point in our life, we've got to turn loose, and we've got to start using our talents for God and not live a life with maybe a chip on our shoulder saying, I'm mad, or I'm discouraged, or I'm hurt in this way, therefore I'm going to shut down. I'm going to go back to this verse a few times this morning. The verse that we started with in John 13 and verse 35, we got to have love enough to get past those things. We can't have hatred and bitterness and anger in our life that drags us back and keeps us from serving God. Has anybody ever hurt your feelings? Probably so. I would say most all of us can say that someone at some point in our life hurt our feelings. They said something, they done something, something happened or didn't happen that we thought should happen, and it hurt us. Well, how did you respond to that? Let me ask another question. Where are you at with that today in your life? Have you turned loose of that, or are you looking around, and maybe you're looking around this morning seeing someone in particular, and you say, you know, I still aggravated them. That's been 32 years ago, but I ain't let go of it yet. And if given the opportunity, I'll tell them all about it all over again. I hope you're not that way. But you know, there's people that's that way. There's people that's been hurt, their feelings have been hurt, and they never let go of it. They continue to hold that bitterness in themselves. They continue to hold on to it. And what they're doing is they're hindering the church. They're hindering the work of the Lord. They're hindering that love, that forgiveness that we ought to have, because we hold on to it. And that affects us in our Christian life, and it affects other people knowing that we're Jesus' disciples, because that verse says people's going to know by the love. You know, it's very hard to go out and tell someone that someone needs to become a Christian that, hey, you need to get what we got. We worship God. We love each other. We have unity. We do this. We have meals. We're just a great bunch of people. And then somebody brings up Tim. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you something about him. He's sorry as he can be. I'll tell you what he done. He cut my grass the other day. He hit my roses and broke them. I don't know a good illustration. obviously. I didn't have to tell you all that. But either way, we hold on to something that don't really matter, is my point. And we talk about how we love each other, but we're bitter about someone sitting in the building with us. And we're bitter about what? Maybe we need to back up in our lives. Maybe we need to go back and leave that offering at the table and go be right with our brother and be right with our sister. Then we bring our offering back. Then we get involved with the work of the church. Then we get involved with the worship of the church. And we say, this is where we're going, and this is the direction that we're going to go, because we do have that love for each other. Well, the first thing, you see, Christianity is not just a bunch of rituals. It's not just going through motions. It's not something that we do just once a week, that when we come together, we worship. And this is important in what we do, and it's commanded by God. And this is when we come and we bring our sacrifice, we bring our attitude, our love to God, we bring it together today, and we say, we're going to worship God today, and we're going to sing these songs that Keith is leading for us, and we're going to pray with David, and we're going to partake the Lord's Supper, and we're going to give, and we're going to focus on God's Word for a few minutes, and we're going to do that together this morning as a congregation of God's people that love each other. And we're going to offer that praise to God. That's part of it. But that's not all that it is. Living a Christian life is not just coming in this church building. No, Christianity is a way of life. Let me say that one more time. Christianity is a way of life. It's a change. It's an overhaul. It's a saying, I was living for the world, and now I'm going to live for Christ. It's saying, I used to do what I wanted. I used to watch certain TV shows. I used to say certain things. I used to take part in certain activities in life. I used to not worry about things. I used to not love people. I used to hate people. I used to do this. I used to do that. And now I get to a point, I have changed my life. I'm afraid too many times we think that being a Christian is coming to church. And we focus about attendance. And we focus about worship to God. But I'm going to tell you, a person can sit in a building every time the doors are all open and be lost. It's more to being a Christian than walking in here and having a songbook in your hand and waiting for me to get done and stand up than leave. It's a lot more to it than that. It's an everyday process in our life that we're living, teaching, being an example, and loving other people around about us. Romans chapter 14 and verse 8 that Dale read for us, it says this, for if we live, we live to the Lord. And it says, if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. That is telling us that Christianity is a way of life. It's not just Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. So before we move on to the next point, let me challenge you to think about yourself, think about your life. Are you a Christian on Sunday morning, or are you a Christian 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Is it hard for you to remember to say a prayer before you go to bed? Is it hard to pray before you eat a meal? Is it hard to pray when the first time when you wake up in the morning and thank God for the day that He's given you? Is it hard to sit down and open your Bible? Let's go to the extreme for just a minute, can we? Nothing's on TV, there's nothing to do, and I'm bored. You ever said that? You ever said there's nothing to do, and I'm bored, and you got a Bible laying over on the table somewhere? Boy, I wish I had something to do. Living a Christian life is about studying God's Word, too. Is that something you like to do? Do you like to look in the pages and say, you know, this is what God is telling me. This is what God is teaching me. And Charles, He's telling me this and He's teaching me this so I can be happier while on this earth. He's not telling me this so I can be miserable. He's telling me this, that this is where happiness is. This is how you live a life where you find happiness. Even when the bad times come your way, you can know that God is on your side. And at the end of the day, no matter what happens today, and I'll say that one more time, it does not matter what happens today, how bad it gets. At the end of the day, if you're a faithful Christian, you've got heaven. And that's what we find in the Scriptures. You can go and you can study the apostles. You can talk about the early church, the disciples. You can even go to the Old Testament where people give their life for God. And at the end of the day, you know what they had? They had God. And that's the difference between worshiping God on Sunday and it being a way of life. God needs us to live for Him and to share His love with other people. Second thing, talking about need or being needed and the love. Many people feel left out because they have lost thousands of opportunities to do good to other people. There are opportunities that we let slip through our hands. They go right on by us. I believe that I can say with confidence this morning that if you think about it, that we would all admit that we have known of opportunities we didn't take advantage of to help people, to encourage people, to teach people, to love people. We may have took advantage of my bad illustration a while ago and argued with somebody. We might have took advantage of that. You're not going to get the best of me. You know, I may call you, David, one night just to get the last word in. You know, we may think about that. We may think, I can't believe he said that to me. What could I do to get back at him? And we take those opportunities, but I think we can all say we missed opportunities to show love and to give that need that people have. Found an illustration, and a writer put it this way. He said, hell began on the day when God grants us a clear vision of all that we might have achieved, of all the gifts which we have wasted, of all that we might have done, which we did not do. Hell begins on the day when we can look back and say, this is what I blew. I believe there's a lot of truth to that. This morning, before we close, opportunities come our way, and we had better take advantage of those opportunities because they may not come back. It may be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that we have. We have an obligation to God, and that obligation is to love one another, to let our light shine, to be needed, to find our place in life, to be an encouragement and to be a help to other people. But this morning, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to come to Jesus. You have an opportunity to become a Christian. If you have the faith and you have the belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died on the cross for your sins and that you need Him in your life to have a relationship with God and you believe those facts about the gospel, the good news, then this morning God has given you another opportunity to come forward. He's given you another opportunity to become a Christian. If you're willing this morning to repent and turn away from sin and say, I no longer want to live for the world. I want to live for God. And it's not something that you can just close the book on of the world and say, hey, life's going to be easy now. All my temptations, all my problems, they're gone. I can shut that book. I don't have to worry about Satan no more. Oh, no. You see, because this morning, if you're sitting out here and you're outside of the body of Christ, Satan's already got you. He's got you right now. And in just a minute, when we stand up, he's going to tell you to stay right where you're at. He's going to say, Tim, you're in good shape. Don't worry about it. There's plenty of time. You just go on back out and keep enjoying life. Repentance is saying, I'm going to turn away from that. And realizing that Satan is going to continue to gnaw at you. But what you have when you come to Jesus, when you come to God, what you have is the grace of God. You have the blood of Jesus, and you have a congregation, you have brothers and sisters in Christ, and you got God's hands protecting you. The temptation is going to be there, but he's protecting you in the sense that he says that he's always going to make a way for you to escape. The problem with not escaping is sometimes we don't look for the escape door. We get in the middle of something, we don't look for a way out of it. God says you're not going to get in situations where you don't have a way to get out of it as a Christian. So the temptation's going to be there, but you've got to be willing to say, I'm going to put this sin, I'm going to put this life behind me, and I'm going to start living for the Lord. This morning, can you answer this question? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And at this point in this sermon, at this point in this plan of salvation that God gives us, if you can say yes to what we've talked about, then you need to come forward confessing Jesus, and then we can baptize you today for the remission of your sins. And that precious blood of Jesus will wash all of those sins away. And today you can stand pure and just and right before our Father in heaven. And he will look at you today and he'll say nothing except white as snow. No filth, no dirt, no sin. What a great day that is in heaven when someone in the world decides, I am going to be a Christian. But then the problem comes that once we become a Christian, we were committed at one time. We had decided, yes, I'm going to be a Christian. Then we get caught up in life. We get going in life. We get going down a road, and we look back on our life, and we say, where is life gone? First of all, I make that statement often. I know there's a lot of people here older than I am, but I'm realizing it now. I guess you get to a point in life where you start realizing it. As you say, boy, look where I'm at. How did I get here? Maybe this morning you're looking back on your life. You say, where has life gone? Well, think for just a minute. How much has God been in your life? Have you been showing that love? Have you been demonstrating Christ in your life? Can people look at you and say, you know, he is a Christian? Can people look at Keith Peavy House and say, you know, Keith is a Christian. He look at him. You can tell that he is by the way that he lives and the way that he talks and the things that he does. You know, if you brought shame and reproach on the church, then come forward this morning and we'll pray with you and for you. But at the very, I don't know, that ain't the way that ought to be said, but at the very least, if you've got something in your life that's keeping you from being close to God, if you got something in your life that feels like it's separating you from God and it's private, take care of it. While we're standing and singing, take care of it and ask God to forgive you. And leave here today determined that today is the day I'm going to change my life. When I leave here today, people are going to know I'm a disciple of Christ because of the way that I live and the way that I love. Won't you come this morning while we stand in